Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8 is where we're going to be in the Word of God. Appreciate everything that's been said and done this morning. Here in Acts chapter 8 is where the Lord has led us and this week. And what a special day this is, especially for my brother Hunter, that's going to get baptized here after service today. And he came to me Sunday and said, "I want to get baptized." I said, "Well, you just let me know when you want to." He said, "Let's do it next Sunday." I said, "Sounds good to me." So we're glad that he got saved several months back, and he's come to the place that he feels like he needs to be baptized, and I agree with him 100%. And I want you to pray this morning. I hope I can bring you something that will help you today. And if you get anything out of this today, it'll be because of the Lord. It won't be because of me. I ain't much of a preacher, but I love trying to be the mouthpiece for the Lord and brag. I can brag on His lovely name. I know that much. Amen. He's been so good to this preacher, and I love Him for all that He's done. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Here in Acts chapter 8, we're going to break in about the 26th verse. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way thou goest down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went before a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in a chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd use us this morning for your mouthpiece. God, speak through these stammering lips, this unlearned mind. God, I pray that just for a few moments of time, God, you know what's about to happen, and I pray that you'll give us the words of wisdom for your people today. Should they be one here today, lost and undone without you, I pray today would be the day that they'll come and get right with you, be saved for all eternity. How we love you today. We thank you for what you're about to do. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Look at verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said," I love this, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh, I got to read that again. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Here I want you to see today, I want to give you a little background story here. Here we see Philip. He's just been through a terrible time. We see that Saul, later on in the scriptures, he's saved and he's become Paul. But right now he's not saved. His name is Saul. And he's persecuting the church. And Stephen has been put to death, stoned to death, for standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church is scattered abroad. And you think they'd be discouraged and hid out and all this that's going on in great persecution, but they're not. They're spread abroad and they're telling everybody about the gospel. I love that. You may try to beat the church out and run the church out and kill the church people out, but I'm glad all you do is make them stronger, amen. It just makes them and charges them up and wants them to go on for God. But we can see this happening here. They're spread abroad and the Spirit of the Lord, the angel comes to Philip and tells him to go to the city of Samaria and preach the gospel. And he does just that. He goes down to Gaza there and he preaches to the eunuch. This eunuch is sitting here in his chariot and he's reading the scriptures, the Greek scrolls. He's reading the scriptures and he's reading Isaiah 53 that we've got right here in our Bible. He's reading it. And he don't understand it. I'm telling you today, if you're here lost without God, you've probably sit down and tried to read the Bible, and it don't make a sense to you. You can't figure it out, and you're more confused than you've ever been. I'll tell you what it's going to take to understand the Word of God. It's going to take that you be born again. That's the only way you can understand God's holy Word. You must be born again. So here we see this eunuch, he's trying to figure it out. God sends him on this trip down there. And yo, Philip, he's wanting to preach the gospel. I think about these brothers here, they've been out preaching. They go places, they don't know if they're going to be accepted or not. But bless the Lord, we're sent to preach the gospel. So we put on our best suit and we go down to the houses of God, to the places that we know that God is sending us to. And you walk in and people look at you like a calf staring at a new gate going, what do you want? And you say, come in the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, brothers, what to do. You need to do just like Philip do. Listen to the Spirit of God and go when He sends you. Amen. He'll open the door for you where you need to be. I'm speaking from experience this morning. I know what the Spirit of God will do. And I'm glad that Philip listened and did exactly what the Spirit of God told him to do. So today I want to preach on the believer's baptism. The believer's baptism. There's a Greek word called baptismo. That's the original word for baptism. Baptismo. And I did a little bit of study and a background search on that very word, baptism. And back in 1611, when they were translating the Word of God, and the writers, the ones that were translating it from the Greek scrolls into the King James Version of the Bible there, they were translating this and they got down to this word to translate it. And they didn't really know what to do because they wanted to honor their king. And he'd done put them to charge that if they changed one thing, that he'd kill them and their whole family. So they was very scared. We got these scrolls and we've got to translate this Bible from Greek into English and we can't change nothing. We got to do exactly what he's telling us to do. And they come across this word, baptismo, trying to figure out what to do with that. Well, how are we going to translate that? Because we know that at this time that King James wasn't practicing, his church that he was involved in, wasn't practicing immersion. If you'll look up baptism, it means to emerge. Can I hear an amen? It doesn't mean, I got to thinking about this morning. It doesn't mean when you get baptized, they throw a little water on you. You know, it's like, yes, right here, throw it on you just a little bit. There you go, you're baptized now. That's the sorriest way I ever thought of in my life is trying to baptize somebody. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you know. That's how we're supposed to baptize, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But I want to do what thus saith the Word of God, amen. I want to do what the meaning of the word means. And that means to immerse into the water. Take them under the water. If they don't get completely wet, take them on down and wallow them around. Hunter, you better hold on, brother. We're going to get you wet this morning. But I believe you're supposed to immerse. In King James, they wasn't practicing immersion at that time. They were practicing sprinkling at that time. So these men were scared what to do about translating this very word. So you know what they did? It's the only word in the Bible that's not hasn't been translated. It was wrote down just like that, baptism. And they left it alone, and they went on from there. And we read that today in the Scriptures. You can see over in 2 Corinthians where it talked about that baptism is an answering of a good conscience towards God. There's no salvation in the water. If you've been taught that, I am sorry. I do not hold back. I am not backing down. There is no salvation in the water. I can take this water right here and I can come back there and pour it all over you this morning, and you're not going to be no more saved than you was before I come back there. It takes believing Jesus Christ. It takes believing that He was born of a virgin. That's a miracle right there. He's born of a virgin, amen. He came into this world, walked 33 and a half years, hung on a rugged cross for your sin and mine, and died. They laid Him in a tomb, and on the third day He got up. That is the gospel this morning. That's what it'll take to be born again. It won't take water. But you got the naysayers. And the naysayers, it's not important to be baptized. You've probably been told that. It's not important. I've come to stand on the authority of God's Word this morning and look you right in your eyes and tell you, that's wrong. If you can get baptized, if you're able to get, you should get baptized. We've baptized those that ain't able to be baptized. We've carried them to the creek and laid them in the water and baptized them. Now, I've met people and talked with people who wouldn't get baptized. Some of these women wouldn't get baptized because he's afraid their hair dye would run. Shame on you. I don't know what these men's problem is. Maybe they're afraid their bear hair that was glued on would fall out or something. I had a young man mowing for me yesterday, and he's 14 years old. He walked up and he said, "Look, I got my first chin hair." Well, good for you. He was proud of that chin hair, you know. These times I wished I never grew it. It's a lot of work working his chin hair. He's so proud of that. But I'm telling you today, you must be baptized. Why? I'm going to answer that question. They'll also say that you won't make it to heaven if you're not baptized. I'm going to tell you on authority of God's Word, that's wrong too. You know why? Baptism is necessary for obedience. And obedience is necessary for growth. Growth like joy and fulfillment and fruitfulness in your Christian life. It's needful that you be baptized. Why? I'm glad you asked. You know, you're full of questions this morning. I'm glad you asked. Look, let's look at Mark chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there. I want you to see it this morning. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to look at it. Mark chapter 1. Let's look at it this morning. Why do we need to be baptized? Well, the Scripture surely must tell us. And we're going to look at it this morning. Why do we need to be baptized? Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Oh, yes. And it came to pass in those days. That Jesus, I could stop right there and say nothing else. That Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in what? The Jordan. It didn't say he was sprinkled by John. It said he went into the Jordan and was baptized of John. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Verse 11, and there came a voice out of heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, do you have any question why you should be baptized? If it is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And the Bible says he went in to the Jordan. He went down into the Jordan and straightway came up out of the water. Okay? That means he was totally submerged in the water and brought up out of the water. And God himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That should answer your question, should you be baptized? Absolutely, you should be baptized. Why? We must follow Christ's example. He is our example. He has showed us here in Mark that we need to follow Him by believer's baptism. This is not for the sinner. This is for the believer. This does not make you any more saved or lost or any way you want to put it. This is like putting the seal on the deal. I'm not ashamed of what Christ did for me. He went and was baptized and showed me an example. And because I have been saved, now I'm going to take this step for Him and show the world that I'm not ashamed. Oh, there's so much more. I hope I can get to all of it. I want to show you the method for baptism, and I want to show you the meaning of baptism that you may understand. This has probably been one of the most controversial, argued about, misinterpreted type of scripture that I believe we all have to deal with. I'm going to say, I don't know this, this is my opinion. I'm going to say that at least 50% of the Christians have not been baptized. Now, there are arguments. We're not going to talk about what the Baptists believe or denominational believe. We're going to talk about what thus saith the Word of God. Let's go on what the Bible says, not what tradition says. Now, I know some churches believe in baptizing forward. They'll baptize you that way. And the other ones will baptize you the other way. It doesn't matter if you're going that way or this way, that way or that way, as long as you're being submerged in the water. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is what it takes. Had a man tell me one time, you was baptized the wrong way. You weren't baptized in Jesus' name. I almost rebuked him right to his face. Because I'm not about denomination and denominational preferences. We get so hung up, oh, I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to do it this way. Or I'm a Pentecostal, and I'm going to do it this way. I'm Church of God, I do it this way. I'm apostolic, I'm not into all of that. Let's follow what thus saith the Word of God. If we'll do that, we'll be right in our lives. Write some of these scriptures down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. I think you got it. When I came down to an old-fashioned altar and kneeled my knees before the Lord and got down and cried unto Him and give Him my heart, I wasn't chewing bubble gum and grinning from ear to ear. I came with a broken heart and a contrite spirit to lay the old man down and say, Lord, here I am, save me. Guess what he done? That's right, he saved me. But he did it faster than here. When I was back there, I'm talking about back there, right back here in the back. You ever want to notice how full it gets back here? There's a whole seat right here. Ain't nobody sitting there. Y'all must be scared. So I'll come back there and preach to you. But it was right back here where the Lord got a hold of me, sitting in the back of the church and began to pull on my heartstrings. And when I was sitting in that back pew, right back here beside Brother Verby, sitting with him, let's just use him for an example. I was sitting back here, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and began to rest my heart. That moment in my mind when I said, yes, Lord, and I flinched to go to the altar, I believe God saved me right then. But I still took the walk. I took the walk. Hey, I took a walk down and I kneeled down. I said, here I am, Lord, save me or I'm going to perish. And I'm glad that Holy Spirit of God moved in and made me a new creature. When I looked outside, old things had passed away. Everything looked new. All them ugly people I used to look at, they look beautiful now to me. And I wanted to tell them about Jesus. I still full up my life. All those used to whoop me in school, make fun of me. I couldn't wait to get to school. Say, I met a man that changed my life. Amen. And he changed my life forever. And I've never been the same. Amen. But it didn't stop her. I knew there's something else I need to do. I thought, I know I'm supposed to get baptized. I need to get baptized. And the preacher said, when you want to get baptized? I was like, right now. Mom said, we got to wait. Okay. 11-year-old child. I want to do what mom said. We got to wait till next week, son. Get some of the family and they'll want to come and see you get baptized. I'm so honored to see Hunter's family here today. We love you guys. Thank you for being here. And it's an honor to see you loved ones get baptized. So I waited that week. And I remember that week. Boy, I just like, I can't wait to get down there to that water. It was February the 7th. It was 28 degrees outside and snowing flakes that big. And they baptized down in the creek where they had the culverts over the roads and it run out and made a hole. You remember those old days? And we had a big old baptismal place there. And all that whole service, that preacher preaching and giving all that, I was thinking, man, is he ever going to hush? I want to get baptized. I was so full up, I couldn't wait. And I mean, he said, let's bow our heads and be dismissed. I was gone. And it was like a half a mile down to the baptized. I ran all the way. I'm a hoofing it. I'm going to the baptistry. Man, I'm getting baptized. It's so cold you couldn't stand it. And I got down there at that baptizing hole, and I run down that bank, and I'm standing on the edge of the river. I was like, okay, I can't wait. Let's go. Where's everybody at? You know, and they still coming from the church. It was like 3 hours later, seemed like to me. Here they come. And I was waiting, and I was waiting. I was like, okay, it's going to be good. You know, and then nobody showed up, and I thought, man, it's awful cold out here. Rich and I said, whoa. I started backing up. This might not be as good as I thought. Ain't that just like a devil? As soon as you get saved, here comes the trials and the tribulations, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know about this. Then you get to thinking about the Spirit of the Lord. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go all the way. You know what? And I didn't take too many steps back. I was like, I don't care. I'm getting baptized. I can't wait. Mom, Dad, all the people showed up. And I mean, there was people everywhere. Used to be that way. People come from everywhere for a baptism. Amen? So we get down there and the preacher, they go out in there. And I don't know what they're doing, but they're getting everything ready. And I'm just like, I'm just tell me I'm in there, you know. And all of a sudden, he reaches his hand out. And brother, let me tell you. That first step was not a step of faith. Because when I stepped in that water, I thought my hair would fall out. I was like, woo, that is cold right there. And I waited on, Brother Hunter, we put the heater on this thing today. So you ain't got this to go through. But I waded out in that water up to waist deep. You know, after I stood there about 20, 30 seconds, I couldn't feel nothing no how. It was all good. But I got to thinking about the Lord. About the preacher preached about when Jesus. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here he came down to John. And I said, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And I remember that 11-year-old boy standing there in that creek. Them two old preachers, saints of God, they're done with the Lord now. If they was here, they'd witness to you about this. I stood there. Now I looked up on the bank and I seen some of my classmates, even some of them had made fun of me and everything else. I didn't care, I was doing it for Jesus. And I stood there and I got to thinking about the Lord and all that He's done as an 11-year-old child. I looked over and saw my preacher raise his hand. Another preacher, and he raised his hand. And they said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I went under into that liquid grave, and that water rushed over me, and I can remember going, yeah, glory, and I was under the water, and I seen bubbles going everywhere. I still see it today, and somebody took a picture of it. I wished I had it today of me coming out of the water, shouting, holding both hands up, holding my hand up, praising the Lord. There's something about getting baptized. It was like the sealing of the deal. When I came off that creek bank, I felt complete, Brother Greg. I don't know. I just felt complete. I felt like I've got a start now. I can do this thing now. All that Christ has commanded me to do, I've done it. Now I can go for the Lord. And I could see a race set before me, and I've never taken my eyes off of it, brother. It's been hard, Brother Mark. And I've had a lot of people trip me up in this thing. But I've never took my eyes off Jesus. I've always run to the mark and for the prize of the high calling of God. It wasn't the water that saved me. It wasn't the water that set me on fire, but it was the example of following the Lord and what He wanted me to do in my life, making me that new creature and setting me upright and making me start right. And I'm going to tell you, I was a dead man when I went to that water. Yes, I'd been born again, but I was still a dead man that needed to be buried. There was a dead man within me that needed to be buried. There was a new man that had already come forth, but I need to get rid of the dead. I'm going to tell you why. There's something within you that when you get born again, we die out to sin. If you look at this baptistry, it's shaped like a grave. If you all could see down in it, it's square. It's just like a grave. You know why? Because that is a liquid grave. There's no salvation there, but there's an answering of a good conscience there. And I need to bury the old man. I need to do what Christ said and bury that thing and get rid of it and let that water of the Holy Spirit rush over me and put the seal to the deal on it. That is a type of grave where we bury the dead man, get rid of him. When we come out of that, we come out washed clean before God. I've done everything, Lord, You've asked me to do. Now I can go and feel fulfilled in my life because I have done exactly what You've asked me to do. Some of you here today have not done what God has told you to do in your life. You've not been baptized. You need to be baptized. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. This is where I want to end today. And I want to show you why baptism is so important. When I talk about the liquid grave, this is why I talk about it. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that the grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Can I get an amen? I think that went right over you. Let's read it again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Number one, we see in verse 3, He is talking about our past. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Death being a form of the past. Then you look at verse 4. He's talking about our present time. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Newness of life is present. He's talking about the present. And it doesn't stop there. He talks about our past, our present, and now we're going into the future. For in verse 5, he says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Talking about future resurrection. When we bring a person up out of this water, this is a type of resurrection of Christ. We are going down into a liquid grave. We are dying out to sin. We are brought up into a newness of life. And when we are brought out of that, we are resurrected to a new walk with Christ. Can you see that? The past, the present, and the future. He's given us that here in Romans. He showed us that we must have baptism in our life to be complete. To be a complete Christian in our life. We need to have this in our life. Now let me answer the question. Can we still go to heaven if we're not baptized? Yes, you sure can. But there's something incomplete. Only you and the Lord knows whether you had the opportunity and pushed it aside. It's like when we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and He's given us His blessed word to follow. And we follow this word and we read this word, but then we say, I'm really going to do it my way. I really don't want to do it that way. I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you, you will never feel complete in your Christian life until you take these steps of faith and follow the examples that Christ commanded you and I to follow. Can I hear from you this morning? I know I'm getting right down there where you're living now. If you all your life have never been baptized, you've been born again, you've been saved, you've joined the church, you've done great mighty works, you've been a Sunday school teacher, you've done all these different things, and you feel like there's something missing in my life, this is what it is. God would not have given me this message if it hadn't been for somebody in this congregation today. You must and you need to be baptized. No, you're not going to miss heaven, but you will always feel incomplete in your life by not obeying God. When I don't obey God's holy word, I feel incomplete. When I don't do what the Holy Spirit of God leads me to do, I feel incomplete. And maybe that's what's been wrong in your life. You've been wondering what's been going on. You can't feel fulfilled in your life. And it's because you're incomplete. I thought salvation was enough. It is enough. But there's steps of growth in this Christian life. Can I get a witness? You grow in the Lord. Am I not right, brother? You got to take the steps of faith if you're going to go to the next level with God. You can't just shove it aside and say, that's not for me. People will look at me. People will laugh at me. I'm ashamed. I don't want to. If you're ashamed of the Father, He'll be ashamed of you to confess you before His Father and His holy angels. When I married into this family, the Jackson family, they were some of the shyest people I ever met in my life. They'll tell you when the Lord was dealing with them, several of them, you heard Brother Mark's testimony. He was so shy that the Lord was calling, but he was shy. He didn't want to be before people. He didn't want to do this before people. But he had to take a step of faith and do it before the people. Why? Because Christ commanded it. That's why. Christ went for us. Christ hung for us. Christ was put to an open shame for us. Do you realize that Christ hung on the cross? You see these pictures sometimes they'll put up, and they got a picture of Christ with a little drop of blood here, a little drop of blood there, and a little drop in each hand and on his feet, and he's hanging there with his little skirt on and all these things, and it looks, oh, that's awful, and we've got a fine finished cross, and see how smooth that cross is? If we was to depict it right, that thing ought to look like a beat up piece of wood hanging there with guts hanging all over it. They hung the Lord on that naked before the world. That's how it was. I believe if we would have known Jesus physically and could have saw Him physically when He walked down that street carrying that cross and they hung Him up on the cross, we wouldn't have been able to recognize Him hanging on that cross. They beat Him so bad. But yet we love our sin, don't we? We want to sit in our seats, oh, how we love Jesus. We sing the songs and we'll come to church and we'll put on our good clothes and we'll put on the act. And as long as I can get my Sunday in, forget the rest of it. Let the preacher live that way. Let them other. I'm going to do it my way. I promise you one day after a while, there's coming a payday for it. There's coming a day when it's going to run out. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before God and you're going to meet Him, a holy God, and answer for every deed that's been done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You'll stand there and answer for it. And then God will look right at you and say, my son left you an example to follow, which was baptism. Why didn't you do it? And you'll have no excuse on that day. Lord, I heard the preacher preach about it. I saw people do it. But Lord, I just didn't have time. I didn't have this and I didn't have... There'll be no excuse on that day when you stand before God. I think a lot of us are going to be guilty of a lot of things that we don't realize right now that we're guilty of. So I want to ask you today, are you ashamed of Christ? I'm asking every one of you that's in here, are you ashamed of Christ? Are you ashamed of the finished work of the cross of Calvary? If you're not ashamed, you'll take a step of faith. And you'll say, Lord, I'll do what it takes to be the example. Yes, Lord, I'm shy. Yes, Lord, I'm backwards. But Lord, I'll take the step of faith. And I'll be the one that'll go all the way. Lord, I'll be the one that people can look at and say, I'm glad they followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I'm so proud of Brother Hunter coming forth and, where you at, Brother Hunter? Where's he at? Oh, he's back there. That's all right. He's how old? 10 years old. Yes. How wonderful is that, church? I mean, they've been rejoicing in heaven since he's got saved. Remember the Lord in the days of thy youth, that your days will be long upon the earth. He has done that. No doubt God's going to bless his life. And we'll preach to him. You all bring him to church. You all teach him the Word of God. You all love on him. You show him Jesus. He's at a tender age. Give him Jesus. And maybe somewhere down the way, God will prick his heart. He may even stand and preach the gospel one day. Wouldn't that be wonderful that he would do that someday? Wouldn't you parents be honored if he did that one day? I'm glad that my parents have been honored, that I have honored their name. But most of all, I'm glad my Heavenly Father has been honored because I have stood for him. I've tried to do what he told me to do. I've not done everything right. I've not been the perfect Christian. You're looking at a man that's full of failures, but I've tried to do what God has called me to do. I've tried to do what he's asked me to do. And all the years down the way now, almost 37 years, God has blessed my life. It's not been an easy road, but it's been the hardest, easiest road I've ever tried. Amen. For the Lord. Hard when I did it my way. Easy when I done it his way. And maybe that's you today. You're having the hardest time. You know why? Because you're doing it your way. One portion of scripture, and I'm going to come to the end. He talked about mortifying the members of the body. This mind is a member of the body. Mortify means to bring into subjection. Sometimes our kids get out of control and we got to bring them into subjection. You going to do what I say? Or you see this right here? I know that ain't popular, but you see this right here? It never did hurt me. It made me the man that I am. And we got to bring them into subjection. When your mind and your heart trying to tell you to do something you're not supposed to do, you need to will it into subjection. And say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can I say one more thing? You ain't got to be old to die. You ain't got to be old to die. I preach funerals all the time to young people. I've seen the families come in. I'll never forget one of the hardest funerals I ever done was for a 40-year-old girl. And watch her 70-year-old mother come in screaming her head off. And I stood at the coffin with tears running down my face. I didn't even know who it was. But to hear that mother cry like that over her daughter, it broke my heart. And I'd found out later how her daughter had got wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and done every ungodly thing in the world. And she got so deep in sin that he drug her right on out. Drug her right on out. She died from an overdose. And no doubt that mother probably thought, where did I go wrong? Maybe that mother didn't follow God. Maybe that mother didn't take all the steps that Christ commanded her to take. Maybe she didn't believe in getting baptized. Maybe she didn't even believe in going to church. Maybe not even reading her Bible. I'm saved. I don't have to do none of that. If we love God, we'll do it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet today.